Hello. Thank you for joining us. My name is Caleb Bray, and I'm the evangelist for the Rock Church of Christ that meets just outside of Dixon, Tennessee. We are currently not having our services due to the coronavirus, and our original plan was to do a live stream for our Sunday morning lesson. Unfortunately, due to unforeseen circumstances, we're still unable to live stream, so instead we're recording this message so that you could use it for Sunday morning or for any time. And so we're glad you've joined us as we study God's Word together. I wanted to talk for a little bit about the idea that things are different. In the society we're in today, things have changed. Just this coronavirus alone has made a lot of things different. You know, we at Rock met last Sunday morning, and I think different is maybe the easiest way to describe that assembly. We had gloves on as we prepared the Lord's Supper and passed out the Lord's Supper. We couldn't hug each other. We couldn't shake each other's hands. And if you've never been to Rock, that's what we do pretty much the entire time we see each other. We enjoy spending time together. We had to cancel our potluck and singing. We had to cancel ladies' Bible study. We enjoy being with each other. And so things are different. It was hard being together and not getting to spend close time with each other, having to spread out so that people aren't in close proximity with each other, just so that we could be together and meet on the Lord's Day. And then afterwards, the governor of our state issued his executive order asking for no more than 10 people to be in one place together. And so we made the decision to cancel all in-person assemblies for the current time. And I want to tell you, that was a hard decision to make. And so things are different. And I know I've said that a lot of times, but that's the point of this lesson. At the tax office that I work, we've had to change how we do things. We're still open at the current moment, but we have to stagger people throughout the day so that there's not a mass amount of individuals inside the building. We're trying to keep it under 10. And so in the middle of all of this difference, we need to understand that not everything has changed. In the midst of being uncertain, we must realize that there are still responsibilities that we have. There are still situations that require us to be doing the exact same things we were doing a month ago, 2 months ago. And so I want to talk for just a minute about, although we're in an extremely fluid situation, the fact is, I don't know about tomorrow. But what I do know is that there are a few things that have not changed. And so while I may be worried for what tomorrow may bring, while I may be concerned about different situations, I must keep my focus on the fact that not everything's different. Let me start with saying, while this situation may have caused a difficult experience for us, the will of God has not changed. God's divine message has not changed. You know, God's will is not dependent upon our situation. Well, if you are feeling down right now, then you don't have to do this. Or if you are stuck somewhere, then don't worry about praising Him. God's will is not dependent upon my personal situation. God's will is dependent upon my faith and trust in Him. God's will is dependent upon my commitment and my belief to Him. And so let's look at this. God desires the same of us that He desired last week. God desires the same of us that He wanted from us a year ago, a month ago, 5 years ago. God still desires that we be faithful to Him, that we trust in him, that we believe his word, and that we act upon it. Some passages that come to my mind are Numbers chapter 23 in verse 19, where it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he should change his mind. He has said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? The prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 40 in verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You know, folks, if the wind of life change my course, if the situations that I surround myself with on a daily basis change my direction, God still requires that I be obedient to him. If my family situation should change, if my health situation should change, I may not be able to do all the things I once did, but God still wants me to do my part. God still wants me to be faithful to him. It is the will of God that must rule our hearts and our thoughts and our minds, no matter the situation that we find ourselves in. No matter what may change, no matter what disease may come up, no matter what situation we may be faced with, we must still follow the will of God. Secondly, something that has not changed is my responsibility to God, going hand in hand here. You know, in the book of Psalms, David gives us a lot of insight. King David, as we've studied at Rock, or started to on Sunday mornings in our 1 Samuel class, was a man who had a troubled life. Last Sunday, we looked at David being strengthened in the Lord as a man who has been in persecution, as a man who has had a king come after his very life, as a man who's seen very troubled times. And so I wanted to listen to the words of David again in this lesson. In Psalm 86, starting in verse 1, David writes, "Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am afflicted and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am a godly man. You, my God, save your servant who trusts in you. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you I cry all day long. Make glad the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." Going down to verse 7 or verse 6, "Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and give heed to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I shall call upon you, for you will answer me. There is no one like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours." David understood that in times of trouble, he still was to seek the Lord. David understood that in times of peril, he was to seek God. As a matter of fact, in verse 11, just in a few verses later of Psalm 86, he says, "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever. For your loving kindness toward me is great, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol." Folks, no matter what we're going through in our lives, we still must be devoted to God. We still must show care and consideration towards him. David understood that. Going back to the 16th Psalm. Psalm 16, first two verses, he writes, "Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good besides you." Going down to verses 7 and 8, I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. See, even in David's situation, even when he was faced with trial, he understood that he should be devoted to God. Did David make mistakes? Absolutely. Did David have problems? Most assuredly. But when we look at the heart of this psalmist, when we look at these psalms that he penned, we see that David understood he had an obligation to be true to God. He had a responsibility to be strong in his devotion to him. We have not had our responsibility towards God change. As a matter of fact, not even when it comes to matters of Bible study. Churches all across this country are not meeting on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights right now. And not only this country, but the world over. And so there's not public Bible study going on inside buildings. That does not negate the command for us to study God's Word. If you'll take a moment on social media, you'll see many different groups utilizing technology to still study God's Word. What I would love to see more than anything is during this time period, families studying more together. Families who are spending time in isolation, using it to honor and glorify God. In Acts chapter 17, in verse 11, the Jews there were described as more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they searched the scriptures daily whether the things they were being taught were so. A lot of people have a lot of extra time on their hands right now. There's a lot of people who normally would be at work that are finding themselves at home. Sometimes the excuses we give is, oh, I'll study God's Word more when I have the time. Oh, when I'm not working so much, I'll devote more time. Folks, a lot of us have extra time right now. Are we utilizing it in the Word of God? Are we spending time studying and reading His Word that we can better understand Him, that we can better understand His will, that we can better teach our fellow man, that we can better serve each other? A lot of people right now have a lot of extra time that they've always said they would use to honor and glorify God. Are we utilizing it properly? You know, also, what has not changed in regard to our responsibilities towards God is the work that we are to do. I've seen a lot of people use Acts chapter 8 in the last several weeks. People who wanted to continue meeting use Acts chapter 8 as, well, when Saul was persecuting the church, the Christians scattered around, and what do? They went about teaching God's Word. Yes, they weren't maybe meeting where they once were, but they were still doing the work of God. First of all, we're not under persecution when our government is asking us to not meet for the health and benefit of our fellow Christians. But more importantly, the point is true that even amongst the current distress we may be facing, even amongst this time of uncertainty, we have an obligation to work for God. We have a responsibility to be active in His will. Staying at home does not negate our responsibility. These individuals in the early church were being persecuted to the point that there were lives being lost, and they did not stop working for God. Let me bring up a third thing that has not changed, and that is our responsibility towards each other. And it's maybe different or unusual that I'm saying that, because we can't be together. We can't be in close proximity to one another. So sure, that's changed, right? It's changed because we can't be in close proximity, correct? The fact of the matter is that while we may not be able to assemble together right now, we still have a responsibility towards each other. James chapter 5 talks about if one sit to call for the elders that they may pray over them, that they may anoint them. James chapter 5 talks about that when we find ourselves in a state of sin, to confess our faults one to another and pray one for another that we may be healed. Just because we can't be in the same room together, maybe, just because we can't assemble on the Lord's day, does not negate our responsibility towards each other. When you look at the early church, in Acts chapter 2, it's amazing to me what we see. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, so then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Verse 46, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Folks, the early church had a habit of being together day by day. The early church had a habit of being in each other's homes. Do we think that they were only confessing their faults to each other when they assembled for the public worship? Do we think that the elders only found out about individuals who were sick when the early church was gathered together? I've made it my point when I preach about this subject that we as Christians are to be involved in each other's lives. We were not made to be together on Sundays and Wednesdays and apart from each other's lives the rest of the week. We were not made to come together once a week and be called a family. We were made to be a part of each other's lives. Unfortunately, during this current time, it's harmful to be in close proximity to each other. You know, for our congregation at Rock, we have a large number that would be considered high risk. We have a large number that if they were to get this disease, it would be very bad for them. I, like so many, have wrestled with the decision not to meet for our public assemblies. But my mind keeps going back to, if I cause my brother or my sister to be infected with this disease, how would I feel? How would I feel if, because we chose to keep meeting contrary to the governor's request, one or more of our brethren fell ill to this horrible disease? Words cannot describe how I would feel. And so, as weird as it may seem, we're caring for each other by not meeting together right now. That does not negate our responsibility to be there for each other. we have friends and family members who are a part of our spiritual family who are going through hard times. We have some that the encouragement they draw throughout the week is at the worship assembly, and that's been taken away from them right now. We have those that we know of who are struggling and are not able to be with their brethren for strength right now. Does that negate our responsibility to help each other out? Does that negate our responsibility to bear each other's burdens, as Paul talks about in Galatians? We need to be there for each other. I was talking with a lady just the other day. She called me to see how I was doing because she didn't get to see me Wednesday night. That was the third person that had done that. And what they had said is, we've just been going through our phone book, calling our brothers and sisters, checking on them. One lady said, I just grabbed the directory and started going down the list. We may be in different times, but we still have a responsibility to each other. Because even though we're not together, we still are united. Even though we're not still together, we have a common bond. Paul talks in Ephesians chapter 4 about all these ones. There is one hope, one faith, one baptism, one love, one etc. That unites us even though we're unable to be together. You know, Elijah, when he was fleeing from the king and the queen, he cried out to God, thinking he was the only one, and God said there are 7,000 souls who have not bowed to the name of Baal. They were united, although Elijah did not feel like it at that time. Right now, we may be feeling as if we're alone. Right now, we may be feeling as if no one cares. But we still have our family, and we still have a responsibility to each other. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, the responsibility that he gives us. Chapter 3, we know, finishes out with him talking about salvation and what that is meant. And then you get to chapter 4, and in the first 6 verses, he's talking about things that the former man did, the man before he was saved. And you get to verse 7, and he says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers the multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, let him employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We all have gifts. We all have talents. And we all have responsibilities to utilize them for each other. And let me add one more item. Things are different, but yet I can still talk to God. Things may be different, but I still have a God who will hear my call. The psalmist wrote on multiple occasions for God to lend ear to his cry, to hear his call. Incline your ear to me, O Lord. Hear your servant. Hear my cry. One of my favorite songs is written by Tillett S. Tedley, Hear Me When I Call. Hear me when I call, O God, my righteousness. Unto thee I come in weakness and distress. Only in thy place I trust my all in all. Oh, hear me, Lord, hear me. Hear me when I call. I believe I missed a word or two there, so I apologize for that. But the reality is, I can still talk to God. And there's a beautiful sentiment in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. There's a lot of people who are anxious during this period of time. There's a lot of people who aren't sure about what tomorrow is going to bring. There's a lot of people who are concerned for their family and for their friends and even for their own health. There are individuals who are struggling right now. And even though things have changed, even though situations are different, God is still there. God will still listen. It is up to us to talk to him. Again, a lot of us have extra time on our hands now. Are we utilizing it to spend more time drawing nearer to God? Let's talk about some application here now for just a moment. Things are different, but only for a time. The things we love to do are right now unavailable. I wrote in our bulletin last week, who ever thought we would take for granted the ability to shake someone's hand, to share a pew with someone else? Who would have thought we would ever take for granted the huds that we share, the monthly potluck and singing at someone's house, our work group meetings? Who would have thought that we would have taken for granted being able to stand and sit and talk with each other? I'm sure when all this passes over, or maybe I should say I'm hopeful, there's going to be a lot of hugging and a lot of handshakes and a lot of spending time together. And as weird as we've already said it may be, right now, the best thing we can do for each other is not touch, is to stay away. And so the question then comes, because things are different, because I can't be in close proximity to my brother or my sister, what am I going to do to still fulfill my obligations, to still be in submission to the will of God? How am I going to change? Because the world has changed around me, and I don't have control over that. But I do have the power to change my own actions. And so this next week, what am I going to do to draw closer to God? Am I going to set aside time to spend in his word with my family? Am I going to set aside time to sing praises to him? Am I going to set aside extra time to unload my thoughts and my cares with my Creator? What am I going to do this next week to draw closer to my brethren while apart physically? How am I going to show love and consideration? Because right now, everyone, is a time for compassion and for love. Not a time for finger pointing. It's not a time for angry attitudes. It's not a time to be divisive. Right now is a time to come together. Right now is a time to show love for each other. How am I going to do that this week? What am I going to do to care for each other. And how am I going to still serve the will of God? How am I not going to lack off in my responsibilities? How am I going to utilize this time to be found more pleasing to Him? Things have changed, but my commitment should not. Things have changed, but my love should not. Things have changed, but my desire to serve God and to have a home in heaven when my life is over should be the same today, if not more so, than it was last month. This is a test. This is a test of our faithfulness to God. This is a test of our faithfulness to each other. And I'm not meaning, please, that this was brought upon us as a test. But certain situations become matters of whether or not we're proving faithful to God. What am I going to do? If I turn my life over and let it be ruled by something I cannot control, if I take my life and I let it be ruled by situations of fear and anxiety, I have given my will to that or to someone else and not to God. I have given my commitment away. And during this time, I need to be strong in the Lord. During this time, I need to be more faithful to Him. If I allow something else to shake me, what does that mean for me in the long run? I want to read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, and then I'll leave you with that. Honor all the people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. That's the situation we're in right now. May God bless you this coming week. May you bring honor and glory to Him each day. And if you need someone to talk to, if you need anything at all, please do not hesitate to give me a call. My love to all. May God bless. Thank you.